Thank you. Thank you. Seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity I get to preach once again to this student body. It is my favorite time, and I want to be of help to you this morning. My time is brief, so I'll jump right into it. Acts chapter 27 there. In verse 20, we'll read one verse and then jump right into the message this morning. Acts chapter 27, verse 20. I understand there's still finals today after this chapel, so I'll pray that God can preach through finals, huh? I'll see if I can get through this with in a good time and without you thinking so much on the next final that's ahead. Acts chapter 27, verse 20. And the Bible says this there in verse 20. And if you can read out loud with me, right there is fine as you're seated. Just read out loud with me. Verse number 20, and says this. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, when you can't see the stars. Father, please bless today's message. Help me to communicate that you spoke to me in regards to this passage. Father, please speak to every heart today and every mind. Father, help us to open our hearts and minds to you and see what you would have for us. With your passage, with your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Sometimes we are forced through storms in life that are so dark that we can't see the stars at night. Sometimes we lose all hope because those elements that normally give us security or direction in our life, those things that which we depend on, we can't see clearly. It was the stars that guided these seamen many times before to safety. But this night, they could not see the stars. It was the star that guided the wise men to baby Jesus. The Bible says that the moon and the stars were made by God to rule by night. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelations, the Bible talks about the stars falling from the heavens and in sign of the end times. The stars have always played an important role in God's creation and in God's plan. And here in this passage, these men have really nothing to do with the Apostle Paul other than the fact that they work on the ship. And they are transporting this prisoner as they are told to do so. Even though it went against Paul's advice at the beginning, and he tells them this afterwards. But they were just simply doing what they knew how to do. I find sometimes in life we go about our own lives doing what we just know what to do and how to do it. And sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we lose control and we don't know exactly what's ahead or what will come ahead. And this is where these men found themselves. There's no doubt in my mind that they had faced storms before. You're out in the sea, you'll face storms. But this particular storm was not a normal storm. I believe God was orchestrating this whole thing. But I want to highlight a couple of truths that I find in this passage that I believe that got Paul through this situation, even when you can't see the stars. And it was because of Paul's faith and because of these truths that I believe that Paul knew of in his life, and we'll see it come we'll see it there clearly in the passage, that changed the circumstances despite the circumstances. Despite the fact that he was the only man on board that had really no experience, he was not the experienced seaman as these others were. As a matter of fact, that's why they ignored him. Despite the fact that he was a prisoner, yet at the end of the story, he becomes the captain of the ship. How is it that one man in a situation like this can get past this circumstance? And so many of us, we really are our best when we are in control. When we know what's next, when we know what to do and how to do it. When we just follow the rules, we feel comfortable. At least that's the way I am. I like to just know what's expected of me and what my perimeters are and what I'm supposed to do. And I feel there's some degree, there's a comfort in that where I can be safer that way. But sometimes in life, the ships turn. Sometimes trials come and storms come that take away those things that make our life comfortable. And it pushes us to places where we realize truly how spiritual we really are. You see, it's one thing to be a good Christian when everything's going great. But it's another thing to be a good Christian when everything's going wrong. And that is what changes. That's the game changer, as Pastor said earlier. And as I was reading this passage again, after so many times you read through this passage, that caught my attention. It said, nor stars in many days appeared. You see, to seamen, for there not to be stars in the skies it's their direction. It was how they got to from point A to point B. It was regardless of the circumstances, they can always allude to the stars. They can always be guided again by the stars to get to their destination. They were certain that no matter what happened out here in the sea, we could always get to where we wanted to go or get back to where we came from because of the stars. But these stars weren't there tonight. And I want to take you on board, if I may. Allegorically speaking, I want to show you in this passage some things that Paul had in his life that made the difference between him and the rest of the men. The things that got all these men to safety. One man made the difference to all these 276 on board. One man made the difference because he had these things in his life that these other men did not have. And I want to share that with you. And I find that in verse number 29, please. And I'll spare reading the whole passage here. Two reasons. One, for the sake of time. And another, because there's some names I could not pronounce anyway. So verse 29. The Bible says, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And wished for the day. In other words, this was their last hope. They were hoping that they had arrived at land. They suspected it. They had dropped some fathoms and they had thought that maybe we've arrived at land, but they weren't certain. And just to make sure that their ship would not wreck against the rocks and die there so close to getting to safety, they dropped all the anchors they had just to make sure. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning. When you can't see the stars, you better make sure that you have the anchor of prayer in your life. Prayer makes a difference. Prayer can make you get through any circumstances, and prayer can change you from inside out. And no matter what you're going through in life, when you get to the secret place, when you get to that one quiet place alone with the Lord, it makes the world hush. It makes the world go away. And it's just you and God. And somehow in that period of time, how God guides us through the storms and our insecurities and our fears are pass away because of prayer.
Paul was a man that was certain that they would arrive to safety because he says so in verse number 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not. He had a conversation. He had an assurance in his life and his heart that no matter how terrible the storm was, no matter how much you could not see the stars, and no matter how much panic was around him, and all these experienced men were out of wits and they didn't know what to do, and they were thinking of bailing the ship and jumping overboard and saving their own skin. You know, Paul was certain because of a life of prayer. It's amazing the steadiness you see in a person that prays. The difference, the endurance that you see in a Christian's life, the faithfulness, it is not because they're special and more special than someone else. It's not because they have abilities that others don't have. I believe it comes from a life of prayer. And I really believe that this is what made the difference in Paul's life in this circumstance. Prayer. Prayer. Notice in Amos 3:7, please. Amos 3:7. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. I know you're just getting there, Bible students, to Amos, but we'll get back to Acts chapter 27. You see, Paul knew something that the other men did not know. And it was that God had told him already that he would go to Rome. That he would arrive. It was necessary to go to Rome. And the way he knew this is because he had a life of prayer. You know, sometimes we go through life and we face difficulties and we face storms and necessities, things that we think we need, and troubles come and so on and so forth. And we don't know what to do or what will come, if this will be our end, or if we'll have to change dramatically our life because of a certain situation, or what do we do next is the question that most people make or say when they face a trouble or a difficulty. What next? What now? What do we do now, Pastor? What's expected of us? Or how can we get past this, Pastor? And I'll tell you, the difference maker is not so much in an advice or a direction or an experience of someone else. It's just simply get on your knees and trust him that's been through all the troubled waters. Just listen and stay quiet. Be quiet and let God be God in your life. How is your prayer life this morning? We all have troubles. We all go through difficulties. We all struggle financially at times. Sometimes we have pressures, family pressures, and difficulties with relationships. Sometimes we find ourselves, frustrated because of responsibilities, what have you. Whatever it is, I believe that prayer makes the difference. I believe so. I believe every graduating student that gets through 4 years of college, or six or seven or eight, or how many years it took him to get through it, I believe the difference maker was prayer. Prayer. You know, sometimes the people that have a lot of money are the people that can't get through the simplicities of life. They struggle immensely with finance, and you think, how much do you make? How much money do you have? See, it's not what we have or what we know to do or the experience we have. It's God that works in our life and works, and he wants us to depend on him. We have not because we ask not, the Bible says. Number two. Paul had the anchor of the Word of God in his life. The Bible says there in verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. You see, Paul had an assurance in his life, in his heart, that came from the Word of God. In Matthew 24, 35, if you would, Matthew 24, 35. I'll go to a couple of passages, and then I'll come back to this passage here. Verse 35 in Matthew 24, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You see, even in the midst of the storm, even when you could not see the stars, even when all hope was lost, there was one thing that was sure. There was one thing that would get him through. It was the Word of God. It was the one sure thing that he had in his life. The affirmation, the assurance of the Word of God in his life. Notice in 1 Peter 1:19. The Bible says in verse number 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, I'm sorry, verse 1 Peter 1:19. 2 Peter 1:19. Thank you. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. You see, how you are, what you do with this book, this blessed book in your life, will determine how far you get in the Lord, how much God can use you, and how far God will use you, and how much influence you'll have in your life, how well you do with this book, because it's our foundation. Amen. It's what we are. It's what we, if without this, we have nothing to say. Really, it's just entertainment and talk that's idle, because if we're not on the Word of God, if our conversation does not come from the Word of God, if our preaching is not from the Word of God, then what are we doing? If your life is not based on the doctrine of the Word of God, on convictions, on principles of the Word of God, then your life is no doubt going to be shipwrecked, because we need the Word of God for guidance, for light. The Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's how desperate we as Christians should be to come to the Word of God. It was the Word of God that the Lord used against the temptation of the devil. It's the Word of God that will guide us through any situation, no matter how dark it is, no matter how confusing it is, no matter how devastating it might be, how much it might hurt, how much confusion that this world may put out towards us or through what we have to do. It's the Word of God that will bring clarity to our life. It will remind us to come back to the foundations, to the principal things, the things that I know that God wants me to do. Even when I'm lost a little bit and I'm confused, maybe I've been hurt by someone, it helps us to get back to where we're supposed to be, the Word of God. How are you doing with the Word of God? Amen. Do you read it? Do you love it? Do you memorize it? Do you heed it? Do you care for it? Is it important to you? Or is it just another book? Is it another book in all the books that you have from Bible college? Is this just something you use as a tool when you have to get up and preach on night bus? Is it just something you use to carry and say that you're a Christian? Or is it truly your bread of life? Is it truly what you depend on? I know I have nothing to say, and I don't serve any purpose for God. I don't have anything to offer God unless I stand on the Word of God and I hide behind it and I preach it and I stand on this. Then God can use me, because other than that, I have nothing for God. And so many young people make the mistake, and I know it to be true, that we depend on our talent, our experience, or who we are, or what our last name might be, or if we have money or not. Let me remind you that we are nothing apart from God. We are nothing. We must abide in the true vine. We must abide in the Word of God. Young men, you ought to know the Word of God as a mechanic knows his tools. A mechanic, all he has to do is listen to a car. Literally, almost has to just listen to it and already knows what's wrong with the car. Probably already knows what is wrong with the car, because he knows his trait. He's been in it. He's been muddy. He's been with oil on his fingertips, just all into the engine. He knows all the parts in it. He knows all the problems, and he's heard it all. He's been in it. That's why you look at a mechanic, it's typically, you know, dirty or oily, because he's been in it. I think that we as men that are trying to serve the Lord, we ought to be in it. There ought to be traces of the Word of God in our speech, in our manners, in our character. This ought to govern our steps. It is the authority, the final authority in all faith and practice. We say it, but we hardly practice it. The Word of God. Next, the will of God. Notice in verse number, I got to finish here. The verse number 26, howbeit we must, Paul said, we must be cast upon a certain island. You see, Paul knew that he was being guided as the as God was controlling the ship. God told Paul, tell these men not to abandon ship. They must stay upon this ship. Now that ship was just the boat. It was just a piece of wood. It would get destroyed at the end of this trip. But it was the will of God. It was the center of the will of God for Paul and for those men in that very time. God has placed you where you are. And for God, that is His perfect will for your life right now. And it's not for you and I to abandon ship, to think that there's another better ship or there's better hope if we jump ship and swim somewhere else. The problems are still there. The storms will still be there. The best thing we can do is stay in the perfect center of the will of God. Some of you will be faced with that challenge over the Christmas break. You will contemplate. People will suggest. Circumstances, financial circumstances, will push you in ways, steer you in a direction. You'll feel the heaviness of the winds of pressure financially to consider jumping ship where God has you today. Let me remind you that God wants you not to jump ship. He puts you on this ship in your time right now. It wasn't an accident. Although these men can argue, circumstances and Mother Nature and things out of our control, and who would have known, you know, all these tempests and all these storms would come, and Paul even said, hey, I told you that we should have never left over there, and now we're here. All these arguments compelling everybody to think that this was just a tragic accident. But let me remind you, it was no accident. God was in control the whole time. From the beginning, in verse number 13, if you notice, it says, and when the south wind blew softly, from the moment they got on the ship, God began to steer the ship in the direction He wanted it to go, because God had a plan, and God knew what must happen. He knew there was an island, and that He would get to, and the snake would bite Him, and all these people would get saved. He knew that Paul was in a destiny to Rome to preach the gospel. He knew all this, and all this was part of His plan, and yet we were looking at the ship, that it was going down, and this is terrible, and this ship is sinking, and we better bail, we better jump ship, because look at this, we got to go. No, Paul said, don't leave, because if one of you jumps ship, we all go under. That's how important it was to remain upon the center of the will of God. One decision of yours, one bad decision of you jumping ship, the will of God in your life could cause consequences for your home, for your parents, for yourself, for your near future. It can change and alter ultimately your future in the will of God, in the ministry. If you just jump ship, I'm telling you, the best thing to do is stay where you're at. Be faithful. Finish what you started. The anchor of the will of God. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I like how the Bible says this is the will of God. The specificness of it, the direct, that says concerning you. I like that the Bible is clear in regards to the will of God. It's just very plain. God wants something for us, and He tells us how He expects us to accomplish this. The Bible says there in chapter 4, same Thessalonians, for this is the will of God. Don't ask yourself if you're in the will of God. Don't question that. Just decide to stay. Don't change. Don't alter. No matter what goes around you, no matter how terrible the storm is, God has you on that ship. Stay. Stay, because maybe God wants you to go through the hard times, to go through the struggles, to go through the hunger that these men felt, the desperation, the lack of hope, and learning how to stay together in a difficult situation and bond with others that are going through the same trial. And get through this storm. So when you get to safety, when you get there, you can rejoice and know that it was God that brought you through. It was God that made you learn those lessons at sea that no one else could have taught you, except that you stayed on the ship. That's where God wants you. That's where God wants me. All the faithfulness that God determines that what wants and expects from us first comes from just being faithfulness. Just stay where you're at. Lastly, and I'll close with this, the anchor of the Spirit of God. Our greatest need is the filling of the Holy Spirit. To be filled, we must cast out things that weigh us down. In verse 19, these men began to cast out with their own hands the tacklings of the ship, the things that were weighing them down, because they needed to purify the ship. They needed to purify their situation and make sure that whatever was left of the ship can get to its destination. See, we must let ourselves be taken and driven by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says very clearly there in verse 15 and 17 that we let her drive and so we're driven. I know we use that passage to make fun of girls driving, but the truth is that, yes, that's true, but this is another truth. The truth is this, that you know what God expects from you and me? Just to let Him, through the power of the Holy Spirit, drive our life. It's nothing better than just take a back seat and let God drive. Just let God deal with it. Just say, God, this is where you have me. This is where you've brought me. And Lord, if you've brought me here, the Bible says, faithful he that calleth, whom also would doeth. Amen. Just let yourself be driven. So many of us get into problems because we take control in our own with our own hands. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth in envy, the Bible says in James chapter. It lusteth after us. It desires control in our life. It desires to man, because only the Holy Spirit knows, because it's God. He's God in us, knows what our greatest fears are, knows what our greatest needs are, knows our weakness point, our weak points and our strong points. And the Holy Spirit says, just take a back seat. Let me govern. Let me control. You don't make decisions. Just stay where you're at. Be faithful and do what you're supposed to do. Be prayerful. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the will of God, and let me do the driving. You'll be surprised how far God can take us, and to what destinations would you never imagine to get to if you would just let the Holy Spirit govern your life. In matter of who you date, in the matter of where you serve, in the matter of where you study, in the matter of every aspect in our life, just let God govern your life. Stop trying to plan out so much. Now, I'm for planning, but sometimes we plan so much that we exclude the Holy Spirit. You see, when we can't see the way to go, when we are not in control and fear the worst, there's no sun coming out. There's no stars. It's time to remember that we have prayer. You know, Daniel chapter 12, verse 3 talks about those that are faithful to preach the gospel. I'm paraphrasing. It should be like stars that brighten the firmament or something like that, right? I'm trying to translate there from Spanish to English. I apologize. I could just easily go, but I'm wrapping up. You see, when people are faithful, when people pray, when people stand on the Word of God, when people stay in the will of God, and when people are led by the Spirit of God, they themselves become stars to others. You see, all those men in that boat, they said, okay, Paul, we're going to do what you're saying. They thought they were all going to die. And they're listening to a guy that's not a seaman. But they're saying, okay, we're going to listen to you. And Paul became the star for them that guided them to safety. You see, there's someone around you that depends on you being faithful. Amen. There's someone around you in your life that depends that you stay in the will of God, that you pray, that you know the Word of God. There's someone that needs for you to shine so we can then get to safety. You don't know who's waiting on you after college. You don't know what families, what teenagers, what homes, what lives will be impacted because you decided to stay on the ship. Don't jump ship. Even when the times get very difficult, the worst thing you can do is jump ship. Stay. Father, please bless today's message. Help us, Lord.